It's the most delicious cake that ever caked. It's so good.
Here we go. Well, there you go. That sort of gave it away a little bit, good. Didn't it? Oh, my goodness
gracious.
Do I have
to stop eating my cake?
No, you keep going. I'll just talk for a little bit. Hey, everybody. Hello. I'm Kyle Risdahl. Welcome to Make Me Smart, the Daily Edition. It is Thursday. We should probably just stop saying the Daily Edition because we do the show every gosh darn day. It's Thursday.
Turns out.
It turns out. The mantra, of course, is trying to make today make sense, and that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop right
and
there.
And this is a special and much less, she said, eating her cake. This is a much less hollowed out shell Thursday because
kinda.
Our shells are filled with cake.
Yeah.
Because we're celebrating our 300th Make Me Smart episode.
We are. And it's kind of amazing. So also, I peeked ahead in the rundown. There's a little bit of a surprise coming, so we're going to wait and see what that one is. I truly don't know. But first, we have to earn our paycheck here, as it were, Ms. Wood, the news. So, like one-ish or so LA time this afternoon, there was a tweet before Twitter went down from the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, saying that he was going to issue some guidance on how Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996 ought to be interpreted. And if I could get you between bites, since you're the resident expert on Section 230 and the Communications Decency Act, I will set it up and you'll tell me what it means. Okay. So what happened was yesterday, Wednesday, there was this New York Post article, a deeply, deeply questionable article about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Twitter said to people who wanted to go tweet that article out, no, you may not do this. And in fact, if you do this, we will block your account. People, of course, went banana pants, just insane, as only Twitter can do in late 2020. And the Senate Judiciary Committee said, ooh, we're going to subpoena Jack Dorsey and have him come answer questions about this. And then today, Ajit Pai said, you know what? I'm going to revisit Section 230 and discuss what social media platforms can and cannot do. Discuss.
Yeah. it is hard to know where to even start with this. All day yesterday, First Amendment was trending on Twitter, showing our ongoing misunderstanding of the First Amendment, which is a tool of the state, people. It is not applicable when it comes to private companies. Okay, so let's just talk about Section 230 and this Ajit Pai situation. This is following on to the president's executive order some weeks or months ago saying, basically, hey, FCC, you got to do something about this Section 230. Mm-hmm. And Section 230, as you know, especially if you listen to the show, is the law that says, the aspect of the law that says that social media companies aren't liable for the speech of their users. So what's interesting about this is that a lot of scholars agree, legal scholars agree, even some that we've had on our very show, that Section 230 could use some updating.
Mm-hmm.
That updating is not generally understood to be the job of the FCC because this is not a telecommunications regulation, right? It's a law passed by Congress. And previously, the FCC under Ajit Pai has said such things as, we don't have the rulemaking authority to regulate the internet and information as it crosses through the internet. And that is why we cannot enforce net neutrality regulations. That was the justification that Ajit Pai's FCC used to roll back net neutrality regulations. So the fact that the FCC is now saying, and Ajit Pai's whole thing, right? His whole deal is light touch regulation. I'm just going to leave it alone. So the fact that the FCC under Ajit Pai is now wading into this situation at the behest of the president, without a doubt, to enforce this executive order is political.
Yeah.
Is the kind of like nicest word. That's not even a nice word word I can come up with. Yeah. It is what it is. Now, what I should say is that conservatives who have been saying that they're being censored by social media, Republicans have proposed legislation to deal with this. And I think what is very interesting about that legislation and what critics of Ajit Pai's action today pointed out is that it would essentially like light put poor gasoline on all the bad parts of the internet while getting rid of many of the good parts. Like, it would try to codify specific types of censorship. Like, the stuff you have to take down is if it's terroristic in nature, but everything else stays up. If it's political speech, it stays up. Arguably, like, the conservative proposals would lead to more disinformation, not less. More misinformation, not less. Like, it's a very, it's, the whole thing is just, like, so ball of hair.
Yeah,
in terms of how confusing and complicated it is.
I was going to say can of worms, right? This is now, he's now opening a can of worms, which is just going to go all over the place.
It's just, it is, and look, like, there's no scenario in which this is going to lead to good policy, because at the end of the day, it is political, it's like personal, it's partisan. It's just not, and you already have, like, Democratic, you know, the one Democratic member, I think, of the FCC now saying, like, it is not the job of the FCC to be President Trump's speech police.
Right. Right. Which is a little bit emblematic of certainly this year and of the past four. Anyway, so that was my
just
news fix.
A mess.
Thanks, Molly, for
yeah, cleverly
me up with my
done
news
as always, friend.
It's my gift. It's my special thing.
Well played. Kai's like, I don't feel like talking today.
You're just better at it than I am. That's all.
I know I can rile her up on this 2:30 thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. I think this is so interesting. So the thing I brought today is a little, it seems self-serving because it's a marketplace link. But this is the week when we're reporting on the results of this poll that we do every quarter or so, the Marketplace Edison Research poll.
Yeah.
And the thing, okay, so one of the results are always super fascinating, but on the morning show today, they were talking, tossed to a little bit of this web piece on last time, like in 2016, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do this poll with some regularity, but in 2016, we asked respondents if they think the economy, the economic system is rigged or if it's fair.
Yeah.
And at the time, huge majorities in both cases, whether they supported Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, were like, yes, the system is rigged in favor of certain groups. In fact, that was a huge part of Donald Trump's approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pitch to voters was like, drain the swamp. And now what's absolutely fascinating is that those results have completely changed, and they have completely changed based on party. So among those who say they've already voted for or intend to vote for Joe Biden, 86% say that the system is rigged in favor of certain groups. But of the people who intend to or have already voted for President Trump, only 33% now say that the system is rigged in favor of certain groups.
Speaking of things being political and partisan, right? I mean, you know. Yeah.
And what I find so fascinating about this, and Brancaccio and Larry Rosen, who heads up Edison Research, got to this a little bit, but it seems to suggest that President Trump's supporters have come to believe that saying the system is rigged means is a racial statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that the official approach now is like, no, it's not rigged because there is no systemic racism.
Right.
It's like been this amazing magic trick, because I think in 2016, what people meant when they answered this question was, yes, it is rigged in favor of rich people, and no bankers went to jail after the financial crisis.
Right.
And, you know, all of the things that we talk about when we talk about economic inequality. And then somehow,
somehow
like it's freaking mysterious.
Okay,
right.
All right. Okay.
It's more
somehow,
like,
I don't know how.
Somehow, by 4 years of dog whistles and baiting.
Right.
This is an app because look, the system has not changed, right? Like, it's still unquestionably there. The wealth inequality has only increased, particularly during the pandemic. Like, the swamp is pretty empirically not drained, but it's like the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to make that conversation about race instead of money and wealth. And evidently it worked. And I just found that to be probably the single most fascinating result in that poll.
I would just like to say we started peppy and it's turned into a little bit of hollowed out shell. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Drew Jostad, save us.
Help.
Save me.
I'm going to have a bite of cake now.
Yes, you have a bite of cake. I will speak for just a touch. So instead of bringing a make me smile today, which is fine because I didn't really have one, except until I did really late, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Apparently, the producers of this podcast have been doing a little secret thing behind our backs for our 300th episode, which is, of course, any today, which I knew nothing about. Of course, I don't pay attention to a lot of stuff. Yes.
You sneakies.
Yeah. So here we go.
Apparently, oh my God, this is amazing. There's an Easter egg. They hid a message in the podcast and are going to play it for us now.
Hi, beloved intern Ethan Parents here. On Thursday, October 15th, Make Me Smart celebrates its 300th episode.
Oh my God.
Now, don't tell Kai and Molly, but we want to surprise them with something special from you. We want to hear how we've made you smart in the past 300 episodes. So tell us something you've learned from Kai and Molly. Record your answer as a voice memo
that
on your smartphone
so
and send it to us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Oh
and
my God, okay.
As always, thank you for listening and supporting this okay. show.
All right. So you know why this is funny, other than it's just funny and Ethan's like abusing us here? What's really funny is it's a clear indicator that you and I don't listen to podcasts after we do it
so
because
busted.
We never heard this. I'm like, what?
We're so busted. And I even was on vacation. I was like, I should really get caught up on the show.
Man.
And then I didn't. And usually okay. I do. Yeah, we are busted.
Right.
But can we just point out how Ethan can do everything?
He does everything. He's a magic
He's
man.
He's going to get a show out of this.
Okay.
And then apparently you sent things in?
Yes, apparently stuff came. And I guess here, this is too funny. Here it is.
This is amazing.
My name is Samantha Barnes, and I am a teacher at Tulane University.
Hey, Kai and Molly. Ben Vickers from Cave Creek, Arizona.
This is Rachel in Oklahoma City. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hi, Molly and Kai. This is Caroline from Boston.
This is Tyler and Jordan from Santa Barbara, California.
We've been listening to you guys from the very beginning. This podcast we listen to religiously every night. It's a podcast we wait to listen to together.
One way that you've made me smart is by understanding more about Section 230 and how internet companies are differentiated from platforms and publishers.
I really appreciate the stories of women you've been telling from the very beginning and won't ever forget the story of the Columbia River Bar pilot at the very beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think about that story quite frequently, and I appreciate you guys telling the stories of women.
The way that you have made us so much smarter is by introducing the concept of modern monetary theory, and we are just preaching it from the rooftops now.
Wooey. I've learned what wooey means and why it matters. Thank you. I'm a city planner by training and really care about land use and how it affects everyone, and this is an important piece of information to know.
A couple things I've learned from you. One, Molly is actually a great singer and likes Top Gun, so sweet. Two, illegitimus non carborundum is not actually Latin, so the last 20 years of my life have been a lie. Thanks, Kai.
I think what I learned most from you guys is that it's okay to not be okay when things are going crazy. It's important to be informed, but it's more important to put yourself first. And it's so nice to know that I wasn't alone through this. And when I heard big headlines, I knew I could tune into your show and react with you guys. So congrats on 300 episodes. Thank you for everything that you've done.
We appreciate you keeping us smart, and we look forward to every episode.
So thanks for doing what you're doing. And as always, literally just saying thanks.
I love you guys, and stay cool.
Wow, how about that?
Oh,
that
my
cool.
God, that is amazing.
Wait, are you going to cry? You're not going to cry.
No,
come
I'm
on.
Good.
Okay.
This
All
is
right.
a purely,
okay.
no, no, no. This okay. is not a, this is not a weepa.
All right, okay.
Although that would be appropriate.
It would be.
Because then
that
at least
great.
People could play the bingo game.
That was great.
That was wonderful.
That was great.
We are so lucky.
Yeah.
Such delightful people listen to our show. Aww.
Thank you all for
That's
doing
amazing.
That.
Thank you.
Thank you
Thanks,
that.
Producers.
Thanks
You're
to the, producers.
The best.
Thanks to beloved intern Ethan Parrots. Thanks to the listeners who took the time to send those things. And for those of you who didn't
I really think,
make the final cut, we thank you too.
We thank know, you I too. I really think Donna Tam probably spent like a 30 solid hours too trying to get us both cake. So thanks, Donna.
The cake thing is just a disaster. Check our Twitter
Go,
feed.
If you didn't
see
that, check the
check our social feeds. But I think we put it on Insta as well. Anyway.
I made it my profile pic.
I know.
I love
saw
it.
That. I saw that. Oh, gosh.
Love that cake.
Okay. I'm a little taken aback. I'm a little taken aback. We're going to quit. We're going to stop. Though, if you did miss any of those episodes about which people were talking in those voicemails, Tony's going to put them all in the show notes so you can dig them out.
This is the greatest job in the world. That is it for our 300th episode. But don't worry, we're not done. Tomorrow we get to have cake and beers. Economics. Gross.
I'm not going to have cake tomorrow afternoon.
That is a terrible combination. Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, because that is going to be the perfect place to say a proper thank you in real time.
Yep.
See you then.
Yep. Man, that was cool. That was cool. You guys did good.
So great. You guys did wonderful.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does digital stuff for us. Ethan Peretz does everything. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Also, the Make Me Smart skills on those smart devices that are always listening to you.
Today's program was engineered by Silent But Deadly, Drew Jostad. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Donna Tam, killing it in the cake department. I'm going to send her a cake. And the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Niemes. It's a compliment. I don't care what you guys say.
It's not. It's not. SBD is not a compliment.
I love
it's
the show.
It's a great thing.
All Marissa Cabrera, says Donna about the...
Well, there you go.
About the montage.
It was great. It was
Marissa,
really, really good for
you, you picked really a good. Great time to come on. Really I am on such a sugar high. It's really true. I'm like flying right now.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.